Good morning. What a wonderful privilege it is for Mountain View and my family to join with you, Second Presbyterian, and your families in this wonderful occasion of worship on Easter Sunday morning. Now, Dr. Phillips leaned over and told me that his son was here and brought back up from Clemson. That reinforced my need to have my Carolina tie on this morning. I am unapologetic. Thank you, Rick, for a wonderful welcome. Chad, Sharon, your mom, it's good to see you this morning. Jackie and I and all of Mountain View are happy to be here on this occasion. What a great morning and opportunity it is to share our faith as witnesses to the saving grace resulting from the resurrection of our Lord. Much of my faith is derived from the oral and slave tradition of my foreparents, and I borrow from that this morning as I attempt to bridge from Isaiah's question in verse 1 of chapter 53. While many of the great hymns of the church intone this same phrase, and even the late father of gospel music, Dr. Thomas A. Dorsey, scored music to reflect the mood and passion of Black Christians in their faith, yet it is the subtle and simple nature of this spiritual that connects me and my faith to a time long past. Oh, the blood is a soulful declaration in our tradition of acceptance of the gift of Christ. It is at once a summary of the believer's witness to the birth, life, ministry, and crucifixion of Christ the Lord. Oh, the blood done signed my name. Oh, the blood done signed my name. Oh, the blood done signed my name. Thank God the blood unsigned my name. Now, Isaiah makes the case for simple faith in that his description of our Lord is thus: for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He would not be selected for the cover of Sports Illustrated or GQ, but he is our banner of righteousness. Our collective answer to Isaiah's question is our witness to the gospel. It is our faith made possible through the shed blood of Christ. After all, it was for us that he gave his life. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The gospel is now in this way a mandate for every believer by which we govern ourselves to share with others as a living witness, for it emboldens the character and will of God. What is his love for us? The gospel writer in John 3 and 16 declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. It is that character that moves a sovereign God, El Shaddai, who is the all-sufficient one, to extract from himself the person of his son to die for us, that we would indeed be redeemed. It is not only his character, it is his will. It is his will that none of us would be lost, that we might come to know the saving grace of our God. Secondly, it is the character, it is emboldened by the character and the condition of mankind. For in our natural state, we are most sinful. At the core of our being, we are unrighteous. But it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have become righteous. We have been made righteous. And it is that gospel that calls us to attention, to remember, even on so great a day as this one, to bear witness that it is our answer, our personal reflection to Isaiah's question, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Thirdly, the how and why of salvation through the sacrifice of the Savior is emboldened through the gospel. The gospel teaches us that he was indeed wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It was for the chastisement and for the resting of our peace that he was bruised, that we indeed might be at peace regardless of external situations and circumstances. The circumstances of our world may present to us conflict and battle, but inwardly we are able to embrace the peace that is afforded us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is indeed our witness. It informs us of a more blessed occasion than the one in which we live in the world where war threatens us on a daily basis. It informs us that beyond these mundane shores, there is a hope of a brighter day. The gospel is most worthy of our faith. It has been proven for us as believers that regardless of what doubters may say, that as believers, that we press our way to this great outdoor activity in the city of Greenville, South Carolina, to bear witness with each other, as my brother Rick has already said, regardless of our denomination and regardless of our race, regardless of our economic status, that we together proclaim that he is indeed risen from the grave, and he has made us most joyful and hopeful by the rendering of his shed blood that we would be redeemed. The gospel is our witness. It is worthy of our belief. It is worthy of our faith. It is the account of the evidence by which it is confirmed. It is because of that shed blood that we are able to rise and to declare that if it had not been for the love of God, if it had not been for his character and his grace toward us, we would be most pitied. As Paul says to us in the Corinthian letter, that if it had not indeed been for the resurrection of the dead, we would be most pitied. But because he is risen, we are triumphant as well. Belief in this report is the only way we obtain eternal peace and earthly happiness. How is it that we are able to be sure that beyond life here, that there is hope for every believer? For if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we are reminded that we have a building eternal in the heavens whose builder and maker is God, that because of his love for us, that this is not the end, that when we shed and morph from these mortal bodies, that there is a place of rest for our eternal souls. And because of that shed blood, we are most confident that we will live with him forever. Peace. How can we have peace and live in peace? In a day when it seems that there is so much turmoil and confusion, we have peace because of the power of the Holy Spirit that draws from us inwardly, that we would be reminded, no matter what our eyes see, no matter what our flesh experiences, that we have hope in a loving God who would give his only Son to redeem us. There is power in this great love. And finally, our belief in this report is our resounding witness to Isaiah's question, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revealed to us who without a Savior would be most lost. It's revealed to us. I remember growing up in Inman, South Carolina, on Bobo Street. You wouldn't know anything about Bobo Street, but I do. I remember the difficulties that families had in earning a living, being able to provide a decent life for their families. I remember that when one family lacked something, that they were able from their village to be able to knock on someone else's door and receive whatever it was that they were in need of. My grandmother was so faithful. She canned. And I talk about this frequently at Mountain View Baptist Church, and I pause for a moment to share it with you this morning. She was a canner. She had those ball glass jars every summer lined up on the counter in her kitchen. Forgive me. And I would remember her task of preparing in the summer something that would sustain us in our winter. Whether it was peaches or tomatoes and vegetable soup. After the canning process, she would place them carefully in the pantry. The pantry was my favorite hiding place when we played hide and go seek in our house when it rained. I would look up at those canned items that were there for our nourishment in wintertime. I'd be reminded that my grandmother was a woman of community and faith. And whenever there was trouble in our neighborhood, she would say, "We're going to see about somebody." And what going to see about meant was that she had a bushel basket in the crook of her arm, and she would select carefully from those canned items the prizest canned goods and place them in that basket and grab me and my brothers by our hands and say, "We're going to see about somebody." And what seeing about meant was that they were in trouble, and whatever we had, we would share with them. Oh, the blood done signed my name. It changed our perspective from being selfish in our material possessions to being willing to share with someone else who was in need. The blood done signed my name. We would journey down the street. We would knock on the door to someone whose face was troubled with anguish. Grandmother wouldn't take no for an answer. She'd come right in and begin cleaning and tidying up and opening curtains and lining those jars that once lined our counters, now on the counters of someone else who needed it. Another line of that spiritual is, "I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Oh, the blood done signed my name. I'm a witness, I'm a witness. Oh, the blood done signed my name. I'm a witness, I'm a witness. Oh, the blood done signed my name. Thank God, the blood unsigned my name." So our answer to Isaiah's question, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" The arm of the Lord is revealed to you and to me. It's revealed in such a way that when we leave this place today, we indeed would be the witnesses because the arm of the Lord has been revealed. Our belief in this report comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit who draws upon our souls. While we enjoy material possessions and while our faith is not derived from how the stock market performs or how our 401ks progress, it is derived from the simple fact that if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for his great mercy and his love for us, we would be lost. So who has believed the report? We have believed the report, so indicated by our presence here today. But beyond our presence here, we are required to be witnesses wherever we are, in our community like my grandmother, on our jobs, in our schools, in our homes, that we indeed would be the witnesses who would declare that if the blood of Jesus had not been shed for us, then we would be lost. Today, in our conclusion, we are reminded that he is not dead, that he is indeed alive. He is risen. The women on that noted morning early went to the tomb, and there they found an angel who was seated on the stone that had been rolled away. And they said to them, "We know whom you seek. You seek Jesus, but he is not here. He is risen, just as he said."